I don't know. Is this fun? Am I having fun?
I don't know. I can't tell yet if I'm having fun.
I'm having a strange craving for McDonald's, I tell you what.
Foam Finger Hat Robot is made possible by listeners just like you. For more information, visit foamfingerhatrobot.com.
This is episode 3 of Foam Finger Hat Robot. I'm your host, Jeff Wyckoff, a.k.a. Gamer. This is the other host, Dave Quarles, a.k.a. Low Elo Dave. No, Copy386.
Hey, gosh. I'm all three, man.
Yeah, you're all of those things.
Some people also call me Hercules. So
it's so much. That. You know what? I should just introduce us as Jeff and Dave.
There and you go.
Eric.
Probably.
That's probably okay. Best.
I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to do that. So welcome to episode 3 of Foam Finger Hat Robot. Man, I almost forgot the name of the podcast. This is episode 3 of Foam Finger Hat Robot. And on take 3, I'm Jeff Wyckoff. That's Dave Quarles.
Yeah.
And this guy over here is Eric Belsas.
Wubba lubba dub dub.
See, we're like playing it all on the down low and everything. And you got to come in here with your enthusiasm and mix things up. Like, well, I'm a college kid with a clipboard.
Jeff, it's been like a month since we've recorded because we're terrible people with busy schedules. I am just so excited. I am so excited.
And so much has happened in this last month, too. We've had like major game releases. We've had re-releases. We've had
pre-releases.
Pre-releases. I was at PAX.
Ancient artifacts dug up.
Were there
any
ancient artifacts? I didn't know about
aliens.
Yeah, ancient aliens. Yeah. On the History Channel, watch out.
No, that's like History Channel. Look, I thought you said Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I'm going to correct you.
It's all the same.
I'm going to correct you, but you got it right. I hear only the things that I want to hear. So it seems about a month ago, maybe it was a little bit longer, that Dave, you were bothering me about jumping into a game that I hate.
Yes.
And you know, rightfully so, right? I mean, that game, Diablo 3, sucked at release.
No, I did not begrudge you for hating it. I understood exactly why you hated it. I had just gotten back into it in preparation for the big expansion, and you know, I felt like it was kind of fun, and it was it's if you have, say, like 6 months of your life. This is how I was like, you know, I have nothing going on. Like, I'm going to try to have a badass Diablo 3 character. Like, I'm going to try to do that. And I did all right. But, you know, I got you back into it, and the expansion hit and changed everything.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So now it's basically the greatest game in its genre ever.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't know? Name a better one.
Okay, you're right. Well, what I miss about before, and we can get into the details of the expansion, but what I miss is the Paragon. The Paragon levels gave you, I think, more concrete progression before, when it was just you got 3% gold find, 3% magic find. So, you know, you could say, hey, if I keep doing this, you know, for a long, 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 long time, I'm eventually going to, there's just going to be legendaries dropping all over the place, and I'm going to be, you know, fine. But now it's, I feel like the 90% of the game is better, maybe even 95%. It's way more fun to level a character now. You know, it's not like you have to go through the campaign 4 or 5 times. You can set it to difficulty.
Loot drops that's actually worth using.
Yeah. And if you go into like a cave or go exploring, I feel like you actually get rewarded with something that you can use now, the loot 2.0 and all that. But I think the one thing that it lacks from previously is that just that insane, insane late game. And I'm willing to bet, you know, we all played Diablo 3 when the expansion hit. We played it for, you know, maybe a month or maybe, you know, 2 or 3 weeks solid. Well,
I still jump in every now and then.
I haven't touched it, you know, I haven't gone back. And then I've gotten my barbarian, which was my main character, all the way up to, you know, to level 90 or 80, whatever, 70. Okay, thank you, level 70. Got my monk to level 70. And it's just, yeah, leveling a character is way more fun now. But I think there's, instead of a slighter slope, like linear gradient for improvement in the late game, like there was before, it's just like, it's like a stair step with like one huge leap. Cause you know, you can play for hours and you won't, there's a point where there's a wall you hit where you will, the likelihood of you finding an upgrade is just so low, you know? Anyway,
I don't know. Maybe I haven't hit that wall yet because I still play through and end up replacing stuff pretty regularly on any one of my characters. And I mean, of course, I'm also like sitting here turning up the difficulty to like Torment 3 and Torment 4 at this point, which has like, you know, plus 400% magic item find and new legendaries and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's, you know, you need to keep up with the challenge. But I'm willing to respect the idea that maybe they went too far in the other direction.
But don't get me wrong, and I guess maybe I was just looking for, that's the reason maybe why I haven't been playing, because I loved it. And like the new adventure mode, I loved that. I thought that was really cool. But it seems like after a while, after you do that, it's like, oh, hey, Nephilim Rifts. Oh, hey, Nephilim Rifts. Oh, hey, Nephilim Rifts. Let's just do, yeah, Nephilim Rifts forever.
And that's really all that there is to the game at that point, is doing Nephilim Rifts. So,
yeah.
It's funny that they release an expansion and like you, at least for me, it's like you play through the story once and then it's like the expansion never happened. And the rest is really just this patch, like this balance patch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and I think Act 5 was done really well.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, you know, there's the new monsters, there's new, you know, sounds and all that. The production cost stuff.
The new environments are really what do it for me.
Yeah.
Because they're way more interesting than Diablo 3 bases environments. You're in urban environments and you're crawling around like, I don't know, forests and stuff. It's way more interesting.
Yeah, it's no longer a gigantic circular open field with maybe a couple of features in the middle that you
exactly
can't walk over.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or like a sewer grid.
Right.
That word has you like walking in just a straight line.
Even in without Act 5, I mean, it felt like a new zone. There was the city, you do the city in like the first bit of it, and then you go out and do that, the forest, that like blood forest.
Yeah.
You know, it was cool. Yeah, it's totally cool.
Now, the funny thing is, though, is that when it comes to Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls, it's one of those expansions that I recommend everybody get, but at the same time I kind of feel like, at least now that you've brought it up, I kind of feel like it didn't really deliver as much as I wanted from an expansion for Diablo. Like I feel like I what it really delivered for me, and once again this new act is good, but what it really delivered was a whole bunch of patches and bug fixes and experience changes that, you know, it made the game fun. But I kind of expected that from the first go around.
Yeah.
And then it added, you know, what really equates to being like, it had, I don't know, it was like a 10% content upgrade, if that.
Mm. Yeah. How do you feel about the new class? Because obviously that's a huge part of a Diablo expansion is, hey, new interesting class, new abilities. How does that play for you.
Oh, he's the best class in the game. I mean,
my Crusader is only like level 40 something. So, but yeah, I agree. Like, just yeah, like I'm, playing with you and watching the shit that you do.
I'm like, maxed out. I'm maxed out at this point. And here's the funny thing. I have only like 60 Paragon levels, but I can join I can turn that dial all the way to the top. I can't even remember what that is, like Torment 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
I can turn that to the highest difficulty, join games, and never die. Like, I don't do a whole lot of damage, but I never die. Like, I can take anything. That's what this class is. And the thing is that if I want, I can swap out my gear and I can go to a lower, you know, torment difficulty, and I can just murder everything. You know, so it can do damage. It's just kind of, I can stack myself in a certain way to be able to play with the people who have like 200 Paragon.
Yeah, and now that they haven't capped it, I mean, I was at, I want to say I was close to 100 before the expansion hit, and then after, it's just I haven't increased it really. I just leveled up all my characters, yeah. And like you said, like my barbarian, I can't do like more than torment 1. I can't do it.
We need to play more, man. That's what's going on. You need to play more.
I think we should.
Yep. All right. Well,
because it is, and like with friends especially, it's a blast. It's really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the old. I don't know how you guys play single player Diablo, because for me that gets old really quick.
Yeah, and I don't. I always play with somebody else on my friends list.
Fair enough. Okay, because the only time I really break out Diablo anymore is if someone messages me and says, "Hey, you want to play Diablo?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I want to play Diablo, of course." But it never it never occurs to me spontaneously to play Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess it doesn't for me either. The times that I usually log in is when I have my Blizzard client open, which is getting better and better, like with every revision.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's
and
nice.
and I'll see like a friend playing Diablo. I'm like, okay, join his game, and I'll just go play. And then when he goes to bed, I quit and I go play Hearthstone. But because when I try and play Diablo by myself, I literally fall asleep.
Yep.
Like just my head starts to bob.
Just like WoW, man.
Yeah.
We used to play WoW. He would fall asleep every time.
That's insane.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, do you want to finish this quest? Like, yeah, man. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, and then this quest, dude. And then my paladin is just standing there for the next 10 minutes until he logs off.
Like, hey, can you res me? Hey, can you res me? Hey, damn it.
Hey, we only played like late at night, and I don't have good sleeping habits, so it's the worst time for me to play video games.
Yeah.
If we're going to play the late at night, I need something that's like constant, you know, constant engagement, like a Titanfall.
But you know, I think if you're one of the people who has not played Diablo 3, I think it'd be a good idea to pick it up and play through it, because I think it's worth, especially now with the expansion.
Well, I don't know. How much does it cost with the expansion now? Has it gone on sale?
Can we check the Blizzard client?
I don't know. I don't think it wants to sell me a second copy.
That's true.
I'm going to check Amazon.
Okay.
So it looks like Diablo 3 is $35. And then the expansion is $40.
Mm.
So, I don't know. Like, if you have friends playing it, maybe it's a $70 experience.
I tell you what, though. Remember, like, the loot 2.0, all the patches and stuff are in the base game.
That's
true.
So you could just buy it and try it out.
Yeah, buy just the base game, play it, and if you really like it, then you can get the expansion and, you know, play Act 5. But yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's a fair assessment. Okay. So worth $35, definitely. And it's going to be up to you whether or not you want all this fancy schmancy Diablo Reaper of Souls stuff. That's okay. That makes the expansion even worse to me, though.
Yeah.
Because so technically, all of those fixes weren't in the expansion. You get those no matter what.
Just in a patch. Yeah.
Yeah. So I shelled out money for
a Crusader.
For a Crusader. It was a $45 champion for me, that I purchased.
For me, I felt like, okay, I want to buy this expansion for adventure mode. I don't want to have to deal with campaign, story, cutscene, da 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 da. I just want to grind stuff out. And then adventure mode turns out to not be all that great, right?
Yeah, adventure mode is the thing you do in between rifts.
Yeah, okay, basically.
I've never joined it. Like, I join random games, and it's just rifts. Like, that's all people do. It's Nephilim rifts.
Well,
and
better loot, better experience. So, all right.
So it's fun. It's really fun to level up a character, but the end game now is way more of a grind to me than it was. Because, I mean, even before with the old paragons, you're like, okay, every paragon level, I get 3% magic find. That's, you know, that's tangible. Now you get some stats like movement speed or area damage. And
get like your 0.3% movement speed.
Yeah, your 0.3. So, you know, like, hey, wow, in 200 levels, I'm going to be a little bit more powerful.
No, it's all in the gear now. It's all in the gear.
Yep.
So that's probably where they wanted it.
Anyway. But it's fun. We're like totally. It's fun, but I don't like
it
this.
It is fun.
It's fun, but I don't like this either.
It's easy to pick out parts you don't like in a game that's otherwise really good.
Well, yeah. Okay. So
they stand out.
Here's a story that I've got. When Reaper of Souls, and I still feel this way, when Reaper of Souls first came out, I had a coworker who said, I'm not sure if I want to give Blizzard my money for this, for a crappy game. And I'm like, well, but it's not a crappy game. It's the penultimate, hack and slash isometric view RPG. Yeah. There is no game in its genre better than Diablo 3 now.
Then wouldn't it be the ultimate, not the penultimate?
Okay, yes, the ultimate. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, why people feel like, you know, we want Diablo 3 to be so much better, because it's always been that genre defining game. I mean, games that have come out, I mean, Torchlight, Diablo clone, Torchlight 2, Diablo clone, and they're not bad games. I mean, Torchlight 2 are great games.
Let's go with something that's even more, awesome. Titan Quest,
yes. Quest Immortal Throne.
Diablo clones, awesome, though.
Marvel Heroes.
Yeah, Marvel Heroes.
Path of Exile.
A great game, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man, Path of Exile is an incredible game.
All spawned from Diablo.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that, like, they all spawn from Diablo, and Diablo 3 is still, like, and at least in its current form, is still the best, I think.
I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on. Let's pick up another topic right here. What makes sense? You know what? We talked about, those expectations. The expectation of a great game being even greater. And sometimes I think that, this is just me, I work in a marketing field, that maybe we just fall victim to the marketing hype, which is something I like to think I'm proud that I haven't fallen to the marketing hype for a long time. But then I think about my expectations around the original release of Diablo 3, and I was sorely disappointed. So maybe it's been shorter than I think, but... games at this point are so amazingly marketed to us that there's like this hype train that follows almost every single big title out there.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, like, oh my god,
Kevin Spacey.
The new Call of Duty trailer.
Yeah,
it's like Call of Titanfall.
And what's funny is, like, hype is. Sometimes I think it's the reason hype happens is not only, yes, because it's done to sell games, but I think on the consumer side, I think it's fun to hop on a hype train and ride it.
Yeah.
And I think the last game, I mean, I've done this for a few games. Left 4 Dead. I was on that hype train the entire way. There was a website called, I can't remember what it was. It was like leftfordeadinfo.com or something. And I checked that every day. And like the people who made the site, they scoured the internet for anything Left 4 Dead related. And I checked it every day, you know, and I followed that hype train. It was fun. And the game came out and I played the crap out of it. And it was neat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last game I really did that for, I think, was Borderlands.
One. Oh, that's a shame.
Well, I mean, I expected for two.
Borderlands
to be great.
One was great,
but
it,
I mean,
yeah, it was. But it think was about
new.
It from.
I mean, you knew what to expect from Borderlands 2 more than you did from 1. You know, 1 was kind of iffy.
Yeah,
but it turned out great. So, but yeah, riding hype trains, I think, is fun.
I agree, but I think, like, you're talking about hype. Hype is essential these days. Because, like, if you look at Steam, there's like 15 games a week that come out. And sure, some of them are.
And every other week? Yeah, every other week you get a game that releases as, like, you know, not a beta.
Yeah, that's a whole nother issue on Steam, frankly. But, it's hard to get market share, right? And so without these hype trains, without them being able to virally market their games, it's not going to matter. They're going to get lost in the ocean of bad Agatha Christie adventure games and
Monopoly Empire,
Tetris clones, and Monopoly Empire.
Yeah, and I think you're right though. But there are just so many games now. It's like I remember there's a guy. I don't know if you guys know who Movie Bob is, but he talks about how the Simpsons were the last like collective experience.
Yeah.
Everyone watched mm-hmm. the Simpsons mm-hmm. because there weren't that many channels back then. And, you know, it was just so popular now. And it's the same thing with gaming, you know, Blizzard, I think it's a lot of hype or a lot of crap because we're just talking about Diablo because so much of PC gaming, like they had such huge market share.
Well, yeah,
the market was
you could
a lot
say
smaller.
You could say that, like, World of Warcraft was the last video game collective experience.
Yeah, yeah,
and like, that's everyone played that game,
mm-hmm. and now it's old.
Yeah,
only old guys like me and Jeff have played it and like it. And
well, it's still plenty relevant, though. I mean, they still have what 9 million subscribers?
Yeah, something like that. You know. and an expansion coming out.
Higher GDP than like Denmark.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure expansions are really a mark of success though, because I mean, EverQuest launched an expansion this year, and I can't imagine they have that many players still.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like their game is so developed at this point that it's like. You know, they have like 4 designers locked in a basement, one of which is Josh Augustine, our good friend, you know, who are just building quests. And then they just, you know, hey, surprise, $10 expansion.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I'm just giving them the kudos for the fact that they're still alive. Like, they still have enough people to employ.
How many other MMO deaths has EverQuest witnessed?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they just celebrated what, 15 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. But hype. Yeah.
So like I don't know. I think the last big hype train that I jumped on was Titanfall. I avoided it for so long, and then kind of like up to the last minute.
Because you didn't trust it. It was EA, man.
Well, yeah, exactly. I didn't trust it, but at the same time, I was like, okay.
You remembered SimCity. You're like...
well, no, there were all these conflicting emotions. Like, okay, for one, it's EA, but like who I can't... Like, they're not reliable because they make great games or they publish great games and then find ways to make them terrible. Yeah. And but then on the other hand, it was Respawn, who is like the heart and soul of Call of Duty. But mm-hmm. Call of Duty lately sucks. And, you know, so there's a lot going on there. And then at the last minute, I was just like, you know what? Let's do it. Got into the beta in one of their closed beta phases and was like, oh my God, this game's amazing. And there it was, hype train all the way.
Yeah. And it's a really good game.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't know, though, but I'm trying to think of games out there that were successful that didn't have huge hype trains. And well, what can we learn from them?
I mean, I think those exist, but they end up getting hyped. I mean, well, so I guess, for example, I would think of like FTL. I would think of Rust.
Yeah.
You know, Rust popped onto Steam in alpha, in early access mode, just out of nowhere, basically. And you saw maybe a press release that said, oh, the maker of Garry's Mod, which I guess kind of carries its own hype train. But and that just exploded, not via hype train, not via people going like, I'm so excited for this, but rather like, let me tell you these stories. DayZ. Yeah. DayZ is the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. Water cooler stories. And I think maybe that's something that PC has, like, there's hype on the PC post release, you know. Hype on consoles is all like TV commercials and, you know, billboards and all that kind of stuff. But on, and you know, with Steam, we give it a lot of crap for the alphas, but you know,
but if you
see one of your friends, like I have friends on Steam that I don't know who they are. They've been my friends for 10 years because I played Left 4 Dead with them once, you know, 8 years ago. So we, and then I see them playing a game. I'm like, oh, hey, what's that game? I want to check it out. I mean, it's just so easy.
Yeah. And then before you know it, you know, that you're sitting here going, hey, dude, you got to get this game. We're playing it. And, you know, so there they go. They sell another $20 and, you know, maybe you only play it for a week, but.
like we did with Gankenstein. Yeah, we made him get Rust and we never played it. We haven't played it since. We made him buy Rust.
Nice.
It is like a little bit different of an animal. I kind of look at what's going on right now with games like, well, gosh, you already named like the big one, Call of Duty. God, that trailer. Okay, you know what? Let me switch gears here. That trailer was horrible. Am I the only one who thinks that?
Yes.
Oh, no. It was awful. It
looks ridiculous. Like what are they trying to do with Call of Duty? It's like future, like climb up the wall. Like it's like, anyway.
Well, but at the same time,
it's obvious what they're trying to do.
Everything that they showed, it felt everything that they showed was like cut sequence, you know, or an event occurring where the player probably has no control whatsoever on what's actually happening on the screen.
And
you know, it's something happening
in
between.
The Xbox One.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't even didn't even look that great. Like Kevin Spacey's face was you could recognize it was Kevin Spacey, but it kind of looked weird still.
Yeah, but
it was
clearly a video game version.
Yeah,
of Kevin Spacey. Yeah.
Like if you could look at it and say like, wow, that actually, what is this real? You know, it wasn't like that. Like you remember the Battlefield 4 trailer when that was released?
I'm trying to.
Or wait, it was three. Oh, it was three. Battlefield 3 when they had the dude. It was gameplay one. Two, it was the dude up on the overpass with the LMG.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It looked amazing. Right. You know, they showed it off really well. But and you're right, this trailer, it's like they have that statement at the beginning, so you're expecting like better graphics than you've ever seen, and it just doesn't deliver that. So it's really falls down on expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing it the wrong way. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of ready for Call of Duty to go away for a few years.
Oh no, man! Every year, it's got to be a new one. And isn't it a new outfit making this one?
This one's Sledgehammer. Now, Sledgehammer has worked on it in the past.
Okay.
It's Sledgehammer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they just announced that Infinity Ward is combining with Neversoft to make the next Call of Duty game.
See, I love it.
What,
the only
what happened
Call of
to Treyarch?
Duty,
I have no idea.
Yeah, But only Call of Duty would they put out their teaser trailer for the game they're going to release this year and then also put out a press release regarding the studio that's working on the next game.
Yeah. It's,
like, yeah, just at make least... us one really good game.
Yeah, but I will say this, at least they're doing different things. I mean, we laugh at all the futuristic crap they're trying to do, like rip off Titanfall, but I mean, they're not just, you know, remaking the same game.
Yeah.
To a point. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, there are different weapons. There are different weapons. There's different weapons. It's like, hey,
you can't prove that.
Hey, Madden, the new Madden's going to have different people on each team. You know? The teams are different, you know?
Oh, geez, Madden. But you can't even play that on PC, can you? Is Madden a console?
No. The last Madden PC, I think, was 2007. Oh, and I remember because I tried to buy it because I'm a football guy. I love football. The only reason I would ever get a console again is so I could play Madden and maybe rugby. But, you know... Yeah, no, you can't play it on PC, and it pisses me off, because I really want to play Madden. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how I can riff off if I really want to play Madden.
It might have been 2003. I don't remember.
That's pretty different. 2003 and 2007? Hey. You got a bit of a gap there, dude.
Hey, son, when you get to be my age, 5 years is not a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, can I say that I miss the hype train? Like I miss being really excited about games.
Oh yeah.
Well, I feel like I'm still there sometimes.
Yeah.
For me right now it's Star Citizen.
That one hasn't hit me yet.
Yeah,
me either. I am so pumped for Star. Like, space combat's among my favorite genres. If not my absolute favorite genre. And it's just been missing for years and years and years.
Yeah. See, me, I need another MMO. I need I need to recreate the experience of World of Warcraft.
No, and I think that's it. I think that's one reason that so many people are jaded is vanilla WoW will never happen again. I don't think
You take that back, sir.
Like, vanilla WoW at release was the best gaming experience ever in the history of mankind. And I don't think it'll ever be repeated.
Or at least, maybe not the best, but it was the most anticipated.
I think it
did the most to deliver, too.
It might be the best for me. Just the sheer feeling of being...
Yeah,
in
you're
a whole
right.
Another world.
Yeah.
I mean, it
is the best.
Nothing else has done that.
Well, and it was not just a whole other world, though, because, I mean, I've played EverQuest and I've played Asheron's Call, and those were whole other worlds. And even Asheron's Call was completely seamless. You know, the only zoning was into dungeons and things, which also World of Warcraft had. But for World of Warcraft, it was like there was stuff everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you went, there was something to discover. There was something new, and you could imagine yourself being the first person to see it, or at least you could fool yourself into being the first person who saw it. Even though, you know, it was being shared experience by, you know, at the time, like 4 million other people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Warcraft was such a great world. I mean, it's like characterized. Like a caricature of Tolkien. That's what Warcraft is. You know, the big characters. That's what it is. And it's a great fantasy, like, you know, stake in the ground. It's like, this is great fantasy. And I came from Warcraft 3. I was an RTS guy. Like, I only played RTSs from StarCraft to Warcraft 3. And I was, when you played World of Warcraft, you're like, oh, hey, I'm one of the little dudes on the ground. You know, that's all it is. I mean, it's the same thing. We have these cities, and you know, I thought Ashenvale was great. You know, it's like the elves and versus the orcs, and Torin is just Yeah. And there were people everywhere. You could walk into Goldshire. There'd be 300 people there. You know, some jerk, undead warlock killing
but
you at Nezzywares.
You could feel, but you, at the same time, you didn't feel marginalized. At least I didn't in Vanilla WoW. I always felt like what I was doing was, like, I was a badass.
Yeah, it's not like a Guild Wars city.
Yeah.
Like, where everyone's standing around because we know this is the only part of the game that's quote-unquote multiplayer. Or in the original Guild Wars. Yeah.
You know what? Here, you know what? I think the one thing that World of Warcraft did better than probably any other MMO, even to date, is it made armor distinctive. Mm. And I know you know what I mean, but it's like every single piece of armor in the game has like a different model and a different texture and fits on everybody. And if you, and you know, if you put on a chain shirt, you're wearing a chain shirt. And if you put on a stupid belt, you're wearing a stupid belt.
Well, yeah, it's because they figured slippers, out that the whole point of playing an MMO is to look cool. You want,
well, no, it's not to look cool, but not necessarily. They made it so that you could look distinctive. So that you could look different from others.
Yeah, you look different.
Now, that's one of the issues, actually, with a game like Guild Wars, and then at the other competing MMOs of the time, like Lineage and Lineage 2, everyone looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, at the most, you get a variation on dye, but everyone looks the same, and there's no difference to it. And now today, even today, they took it a step further with WoW. You can, you know, change the look of any piece of your armor to look like something else. So, you know, now people look even further different. You know, last show, didn't we say that we were just going to start playing WoW?
Yeah, we did.
Why does every conversation end up back in WoW? And we haven't played in maybe 6 months.
Yeah, well, seriously,
but
more.
But you have spent more time in the World of Warcraft than in any other world short of Earth, probably, right?
Yes.
I mean, think of how much.
That's true.
I could see, like, if we were to total them up, I might be able to beat it with Civilization.
Wow. Wow.
No.
Really? And if we count my AFK time.
Okay, well, that's okay. I mean, might be getting close with League, but
sure,
yeah.
But dude, I mean, we're talking on the order of no longer hours in World.
Oh
of
no, yeah, no, I not even days,
not even days.
No, I could. Weeks. I'm pretty sure that when I last time I left, I could total my time in months. Well, in month.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at.
Yeah,
a couple months. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Hmm.
It is, but that's the power of that game and that world.
Oh man, I want to go back to World of Warcraft. Take me home,
I know.
Warcraft.
I know.
If only the story for the new expansion didn't sound so insane.
And, I think it sounds buy a level 90 character.
I'm less bothered by that.
Eh.
I think it sounds delightfully insane. I think they need to get away from serious.
I'm keeping an open mind, but
yeah,
I liked the storytelling of Vanilla. I was okay with it.
Yeah. My issue with it now is it's a single player game.
Well,
unless you queue up for PvP or a dungeon,
it does feel like the thing is that they've done a lot that makes the game better in bringing people together, including the Dungeon Finder. I think that the Dungeon Finder is a net win. But at the same time, there are negative aspects to the Dungeon Finder that I don't think they're ever going to be able to solve for.
I remember when people were complaining about the Summoning Stones.
Yeah.
When those were new, you know? I mean, used to do a dungeon, you had to find people on your server and then go out to the dungeon. I mean, I remember playing as Horde when I switched to Horde, and when I would go into Terran Mill, whatever that zone is, I'd be scared to death.
Because it's terrifying.
Because, I mean, you're just like, there's going to be some dude, some Alliance dude on a mount, and he's going to one-shot me. But now it's like, you can play on a PvP server now, and you'll never see anyone, ever.
Well, they I think they did this thing called what is it, Cross Realms?
Oh yeah, no, we know about that. Yeah,
yeah,
and that helped, but you're right. It's not the same. It's not like it originally was.
Yeah, and that's what I'm. That's why I think it's because of the open world stuff that is missing. Will never come back. The vanilla WoW experience will never happen again.
Yeah, I'm so sad now.
I know.
You made me sad. Coffee.
I'm sad too.
And I'm gonna go turn my subscription back on and download.
Let's
like
go play
50
WoW again.
Gigs pandas game.
Even though pandas are stupid.
Yeah, pandas are stupid.
Yep.
I don't think I have the room on my SSD to.
Hey, even and
put
we
it
have
there.
We have a lot of young people who are fans. And if you're a young person and you've never played WoW, shame on you.
Yeah, you really should just go give it a try.
Yeah, go, and it's free. You can try it for free up to level 20. And if, you know, if you don't like it by then, you're not going to like it. So just try it out. It's a really excellent game.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You know, one game that I've been playing a lot of, this is like the Blizzard episode. I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone lately. And the funny thing is that when Hearthstone first came out, I hated it. And I still have a lot of very serious criticism about it. But what I found is that because it's easy and it's a like low time commitment, and it's like my comfort food of gaming.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, I have 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Let me play a game of Hearthstone.
Yeah. And if I lose, I'm just like, well, that was stupid. Or if I win, then, you know, it's like, okay, cool. I won. Like, I don't get worked up either way. And it's such a good chill-out game.
I see. I don't know. The stakes are too high for me in Hearthstone. Or, well, I don't. I honestly don't play much Hearthstone because I discovered Hex and...
Yeah,
Hex is better than Hearthstone.
And Jeff, did you know I beat Eric in a game.
It's true.
Hex.
It's true. Coffee beat me.
See, but I look
he
at
beat
those
me like 10 times, but I beat him once, so that's what I talk about.
But I look at those as very different. Like I like Hex also, but Hex is like my sit down, put on my serious face, and you know, let's play some card games.
Let's own some noobs.
You know, yeah. Like it's you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm crunching numbers and thinking about probabilities and everything. Whereas, like, you know, it's, you know, so it's not the stress-free gaming experience.
Yeah. See, that I guess for me, Hearthstone couldn't be that either because there's a guy on the other
end of that computer. Yeah, I don't see how any PvP game can be a chill-out game.
For me, like, my chill-out games are Flash games. It's something stupid I can pull up and dink around. Like there's what's
like
it called?
Cookie clicker?
Like cookie click. Well, that's maybe to the extreme. But there's a game called like
Progress
Kick
Quest.
Progress Quest
it's called, is pretty good.
It's called like Kick Your Boss, I think. and so the whole point of the game is you kick your boss out a window. And the further he goes, you earn more money,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. It's like the Yeti and the Penguin game.
Yeah, it's just an upgrade game. And I like that because I feel like I'm making progress because I kick him and he flies into the hospital maybe. But then I earn a bunch of money and I get like shoes with springs on them. And then I can kick him to the moon. And then I earn a bunch of money. And then I get like shoes with rockets on them. And then I kick him to the sun.
The sun is farther away than the moon.
It's confirmed science.
Yeah.
Like that's my chill out game. No stakes whatsoever. It's not even a real, well, it's totally a real game. I don't want to belittle anyone that can make a Flash game because I can't. Yeah. But it's a low stakes, free online Flash game. And I'm all about that.
I don't know. Flash games to me are just, they're kind of like a one-time thing.
Really?
Like I'll play a Flash game and like, okay, I get it.
And then
that's funny. And then I'll never play it again.
Yeah, you know? I'm the same way. Like I never return to Flash games.
Interesting. Yeah. I play a lot of Flash games. And I don't know if it's just like an extension of that's what I would do in high school a lot. just go to the library and play Flash games during off periods, not like skipping class or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for the clarification. I mean, I was about to think differently of you.
Yeah.
I know. I didn't want anyone to think I'm a terrible person. You know? I mean, I am, but that's for other reasons. But yeah, I never really grew out of that. I like a good Flash game.
Hmm. Okay.
See, my chill out games are, I gotta mention Civilization.
That's like the ultimate chill out game.
Oh my gosh. There's so much at stake. There's a whole world at stake.
But it's so easy to make it go away.
Yeah, and it doesn't do anything until you hit the, you know, next turn or end turn button. You know,
I guess.
And my thing was, you know, when I had the job where I worked online, I would just have Civilization up on my second monitor, and you know, I could do my job and then, you know, take my turn, and then it, you know, and that's how I got, you know, over 1500 hours of Civ 5 alone on Steam. But yeah, so Civilization, Total War is a really good chill out game for me.
See, Total War, I feel like there's too much going on.
Well, if you like auto resolve the battles, then you can just play the campaign map, which is what I do quite often. Because a lot of the battles are so one-sided that it's obvious who's going to win, you know? But I mean, the battles are fun too. But those aside, I think my number one chill out game is Anno 1404. And if you guys aren't familiar with the Anno series, it's a Ubisoft series. Their latest one was Anno 2070, which I also have. I have like 40 hours in. It was it's all right. Not into the futuristic crap though. But I only 2 days ago I discovered that Anno 1404 is the European worldwide name of the game, and in America it's called Dawn of Discovery. Mm-hmm. I never knew that. So many years ago, when the game was new, I pirated Anno 1404, and I loved that game. And 2 days ago, I found out that I could buy it on Steam, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I went and bought it on Steam. So my pirating is forgiven because I bought it. But I didn't know that I could buy it. I was like, where can I buy Anno 1404? And I couldn't buy it anywhere, so I had to steal it. But that game, and if you've never played an Anno game, it is the chillest city builder economic game you've ever played. It's the only game I've ever played that asks you to stop playing.
Wow.
Yeah. Every hour in Anno, it says, you've been playing an hour. Maybe it's time for a break. You like get that. I mean, yeah.
The Nintendo Wii also tells you that.
But, okay. Well, you know, I don't play that because I'm not a child.
Yeah, well, I'm a baby.
and he's a baby, and he plays baby games.
Baby games, I wave my wand at the screen.
Go play your Flash games on your Wii.
Yeah, hey. go play some more Paper Mario, you baby.
But the thing I really, really love about Dawn of Discovery / Anno, as opposed to most strategy games, or even the developers also make this series of games called The Settlers.
Oh, yeah, I know The Settlers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing about The Settlers is there is combat.
Yeah.
In Dawn of Discovery, like, it's almost impossible to fail. It's just a matter of how much time you want to take.
Yeah. No, and it's like, you can't, in most, like I'm also very into, like, Dwarf Fortress-style games. Like, Prison mm-hmm. Architect is one. I just got Banished, which is another city builder, but it's also Dwarf Fortressy, and it's very hard. Like, you know, all your dudes will die.
Yeah.
Or brutal. Your prisoners will riot, and it's a brutal, brutal game. But Anno, if you set it to, you know, and it'll have, like, every time you start a game, at least in Dawn of Discovery, it's like the first option is settle a peaceful world. And I always pick that one. because there is combat. You can have combat in Anno.
Yeah.
You can build like ships and there's pirates and, but I don't want any of that crap. I just want to make sure that all my peasants get happy because I have enough cider to make them happy. And there's no time increase. There's no like speed up time like in most city builders. Mm-hmm. So like when you do stuff, you just kind of have to sit there and watch like the little dudes.
Well, and you know? It's so like I love in Dawn of Discovery. I used to just zoom in on the boats as they were crossing the sea because you could zoom in so close and you could just watch this boat like sail along on the ocean. I used to take screenshots and just like be like, check out my boat.
Yeah, and the whole they have the quests and stuff. And the whole reason they have the quests with the boats is because, you know, to distract you from the fact that you can't do anything with your city. Anyway, it's a really great game. Anno is looking for like a chill game, $15, Dawn of Discovery. You can plus the expansion Dawn of Discovery Venice for $15, pretty good deal.
Yeah, I'm gonna very quickly before we get into email or anything like that. I want to take this in a very wildly different direction and talk about the game that is the complete opposite because this got me thinking. You know, I said that Hearthstone is my chill out game, and you see it as being way too high stakes. I was trying to think, what is the like most stressful game that I ever played at length?
You do a podcast about it.
No, I can be pretty chill about League. It is not League of Legends. And I think about it. I really had to rack my brain, and then something in Steam caught my eye, and it was All Points Bulletin. APB.
I never played
like
it.
Like the weird MMO?
Yeah.
That like went bankrupt and then came back?
Exactly. That went bankrupt, sold all of its stuff to like, I don't, another company, Gamers First. And then they like took it down for like a year and brought it back as a free to play.
Really? Why is it so stressful?
Well, so it's a 100% PvP game.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's open world, so you can be anywhere, and it's, you know, it's cops and robbers, right? And the thing is that the better you do, like when you first get in, sure, you know, if you run into somebody, like they can kill you, you can kill them, whatever. But chances are, because the way they have the city set up, that, you know, if somebody is where you are when you first start out, then there's a whole bunch of other people shooting at them too, and it's not too big of a deal. And it's not like a long, prolonged, drag out thing like in World of Warcraft, because when you kill somebody, they go back to the other side of the city. They don't like, you know, res 10 seconds away and then come back on their corpse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'm getting way too far in the mechanics here. So the thing that was stressful about it is that as you play it, you get a target painted on you. And the better you do, the bigger and louder, or the bigger and brighter that target becomes, to the point where you get, there's a bounty on your head, and to the point where every single other enemy player on the server in your city can see you on the mini map, and it's offering extra experience and money for killing you.
Wow.
Yeah. So you would literally join up with, you know, three other people and go out and, you know, start, you know, creating mayhem across the city, robbing stores and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden you might be robbing a store and here comes the other side, the cops, you know, barreling in their van, piling out and shooting at it. And you're like, oh my gosh, there's actually they made the quests intersect. So, like, we had to go and steal a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a whole bunch of cops whose quest, you know, that was given to them by the game was to stop us.
That's pretty neat.
And then it would just do more and more and more. You know, like, here's more cops that are here to stop you. And then it would get eventually to that point where it was, you know, hey, this, you know, this guy or this team is so wanted and has created so much crime in the city that there's an open bounty to every single cop out there. And by the way, here's where he is. And then, of course, there was the other direction where, you know, it's like this cop has busted so many criminals that every gangster in the city, you know, needs to take him down.
Okay, and I'm looking at APB Reloaded.
Yeah.
On Steam right now, and I can it's free to play.
Yeah.
Or I can buy all the packs and pay $140.
Wow.
Sounds like what I'm gonna do.
Free or $140? I'm not sure which one I want.
now, given I haven't played it since they went free to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know how much it's changed. One of the things that I loved about this game was that it was all about, like, this was customization on a whole other level. You know, I've said before that, like, a game like Champions Online or City of Heroes had a level of customization unheard of before. Mm-hmm. This went further. This went to the point where you could design patterns and individual pieces of clothing. But not only then, you could sell and purchase patterns from people and commission clothes and things like that. So literally everyone's outfit is unique.
And I'm going to chime in here since we're talking about stressful games. I just found which one mine was.
Yeah.
And it was definitely The Walking Dead.
By really? Telltale. A yes. Telltale game?
Yes. Like a game that requires so little like actual like interaction.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that game stressed me out.
So wait, now knowing that the game was designed so that there were no good choices ever, like knowing that, it was still stressful to you?
Yeah. I've always had problems with choices, with moral choice games, because every time I start a moral choice game, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a simple, you know, good, bad, or like even deep, like Walking Dead has nothing that tracks it. But I've always like, okay, I'm going to be an asshole. I plan to be an asshole every single time. And then I quit. I'm like, I can't do that.
No,
like,
because
I don't have
you can't,
the heart.
It's not in your nature.
Yeah, I don't have the heart to, you know,
to be the bad guy.
Let this person die or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, no, The Walking Dead, like that's a stressful game, and I'm waiting. You know, they're making the second one, mm-hmm. With Clementine as the main character. So I'm waiting till all of the episodes, and then I'm gonna get them all
now,
and play them all through.
You know that Telltale is working on another game, a Borderlands game.
Really? No,
yeah.
I did not.
They are working on a Borderlands game, where they've actually said that, you know, that one of the things that they do in Walking Dead is to make sure that there are no good choices, like everything is always horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But they've said that in this Borderlands game, because of the nature of Borderlands, it's going to be more along the lines of every choice is so awesome that the painful part of the game is going to be trying to decide how awesome you want to be.
So just the other side of the coin.
Yeah. And it's just like, and it's not that everything is always good, because you're playing outlaws. Like you're playing, you know, con men or something like that. I don't really know. But it's like, you know, no matter what, you're going to be screwing somebody, but no matter what, it's going to be awesome.
Hmm. Well, can I play as Tiny Tina?
No.
Oh,
they have original characters. Original characters, non Vault Hunter characters.
No.
Eric, what's your stress game?
My stress game is Twitch.tv.
It's not a game.
No, I guess it's odd for me to say that. Well, okay, one, any horror game. I am the giantest wuss of all time.
Okay, me too. That's part of the reason Walking Dead was my mind.
Well, like, Walking Dead wasn't that scary to me, but so Logan Decker is the former editor-in-chief at PC Gamer. Big horror game, like, aficionado. And he'd always loan me games. He's like, you need to play through this. You need to play through this or you're fired, Eric.
He was joking.
But he gave me these games called Fatal Frame, where you're chasing around ghosts.
I played Fatal Frame.
Using a camera. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Like, I don't know how I slept after
Fatal
that.
Frame is kind of a classic at this point, isn't it? When did the last Fatal Frame come out?
No, it was a classic when he gave it to me.
PS1 game or PS2?
PS... Well, I think he had them on GameCube.
Oh, okay. Well,
but, yeah.
But yeah, Fatal Frame, Onimusha. Did you ever play Onimusha?
Nope, can't say I did.
Yeah, Resident Evil is all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, Resident Evil. I remember Resident Code Evil's Veronica. Ugh. So those are definitely high stress. The other high stress game for me is League of Legends, which I love playing, and it's become less stressful for me to play League of Legends. But it's just that feeling of judgment that permeates that I hate, because I hate letting people down. And
well, if you weren't so bad, then people wouldn't.
It's true. It's true.
And you know what? Knowing that, I think it's up to us to make sure you know how bad you're doing.
Yeah. Well, it's our moral duty.
Yeah. You saw my trundle tonight, we're right?
You did a great job. I
whatever. It went better.
I would support Victor, so yeah. Can't say anything.
So what we do? We have one good game where everyone's like on, and then once we win, we're just like, all right, let's just
who cares?
Let's do everything that's crazy.
Got our first win of the day, IP.
Yep, AD carry Fizz. Let's do this. Oh boy. Okay. Well, good to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we get an email?
We got one email.
Oh my gosh, we got an email. Okay, what was our email?
We got an email from Mr. Unicorn Man.
Well, that's kind of awkward.
He says, "Hi, I'm Mr. Unicorn Man. I love the show. I was wondering, for those of you who use PC, well, that'd be all of us.
Yep.
What is your setup and hardware? Things like amount of monitors and mouse and keyboard, plus what do you have in RAM and storage and stuff?" Okay. Sincerely, Mr. Unicorn Man.
Who wants to kick this one off?
I suppose I can talk. As far as externalities go, I am a 3-monitor man. I believe strongly in the 3-monitor workflow, which is to say, like, half a monitor is writing a paper, and then there's iTunes and Twitter and Facebook and everything else possible on the rest of the monitors.
Yeah, and you're not actually getting anything done.
Oh, never, never, never.
Yeah,
I'm playing a stupid Flash game like Buffalo Bison. I actually have 2 mice. Both are Logitech, but one is an MMO mouse, so it's got like a numpad on the side. The other's my normal everyday mouse. But as far as what's in my computer,
you're pretty high end, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely on the higher end side of things.
Okay. We'll have to have like a high end dance off or something here.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I've got for CPU, I have an Intel 4770K at 3.6 gigahertz.
I kind of wish I had one of those that has QuickSync, right?
Yes, it does.
Oh my gosh. I wish I had QuickSync.
And that's sitting in an, let's see, Maximus 6, I think. Okay. Extreme Edition.
Yep. Yep.
The one with overclocking that I can just press a button.
Yep. Yep.
So I do like that. I'm sitting on 32 gigs of RAM.
Which I'm sure you're going to tell me there's some science application that actually gets you into the extra 16, right? No.
What do you mean?
Well, how often do you hit that second 16 gigs?
Oh, I hit it surprisingly often. Yeah.
Dude, flash games, man.
Yeah, flash games.
Flash games and
cookie
Facebook.
Clicker. I don't even want to know where your cookie clicker is at that size.
No, I actually will use it when I'm doing molecular modeling.
Yeah.
Sciencey stuff. And occasionally if I'm rendering video or something, It actually comes in handy. But mostly I got it because RAM is cheap as dirt.
Yeah, these days.
Yeah.
Well, you know why? You know why? It's because the new Intels are coming out, dude.
Yeah, I know.
we're due for a RAM revolution.
It's going to be interesting for sure. Yeah. Let's see. What else? I have a GTX 780 from NVIDIA.
Yeah, good card.
I love that card. It does what I need. Titanfall, 60 frames per second, everything maxed out. I have a Sound Blaster ZXR, and I swear by external sound cards. I'm kind of an audiophile. I have a quite nice headset I like to put my audio through. It's the kind of headset that has 3/4-inch plugs to give you an indication of the sort of thing I'm on. But some people don't say Creative has kind of lost their edge. I don't agree. I think the ZXR is a really nice sound card. Let's see.
What would you, if you had to define, or if you had to pick one piece of equipment for your computer that was definitive of you, what would it be?
Oh boy.
You only get one.
Oh, actually, I know exactly what that is. And it's an accessory. It's my Logitech G13, which I could not game without that.
That's with the little screen on it, right?
Yeah. So for those not in the know, it's kind of like if you took a keyboard, chopped it in half, and then took like the thumbstick out of an Xbox controller, slapped it in the side, and so what you end up with is a 4 rows of keys for your 4 fingers that aren't your thumbs, and then your thumb rests on an analog joystick. So it's,
and then you finish it off with a little marinara and a little pesto, yeah, and bam, right?
Bam. Yeah, no, I swear by that thing. I can't play games without it. Like in League of Legends, I use the little analog stick to control the camera. In first person shooters, I use, people call me crazy, but I use the analog stick to control my movement because it turns movement from 8-directional in first person shooters to full analog movement. So if I want to move 15 degrees from north, I can do that. I don't have to move 45 degrees from north.
Wow. Okay.
I love my G13.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, sorry to, I guess I was droning on about hardware. I can do that. I can really do that for a long time.
Well, I've got to be careful too, because I'm a hardware guy also. So
Yeah.
Compy, now I think you run a much more typical setup.
Typical. that's very generous of you. I think I come at it from the other side of it, because I think whereas you guys got into building your own rigs as, you know, like a hobby, as like, oh, I want to get I want to get the best sound card and the best, you know, I came at it as more of a pragmatic thing. You can get a lot more bang for your buck if you build your own rig on a budget. You know, you can't go to the certain, like the rig I have now is probably what, Jeff, you know, you remember, like maybe a year and a half old.
Oh yeah, so you're running a 3750K, which is a incredible Intel i5 chip.
Yeah, it's a great i5.
And it's not i7.
Not i7, but the thing is that for gaming, it's incredible. Like, its performance is amazing, and it's, you know, the K is unlocked. And so the motherboard, if the motherboard will do like soft overclocking, where it'll just kind of do it for you, which is a pretty common feature these days. Just some like the ROG Maximuses are better than others. Like, you know, he's getting extra power out of it what it is. And then I think that means you're probably running 16 gigs of RAM, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 16 gigs, probably at like just 1800 megahertz, which once again is more than enough for most of your games.
I've got an AMD 7800.
Yep. I need to replace.
Yeah, you need to replace. So basically, you know, I get hand-me-downs from Jeff all the time. So it's his old video card. But, you know, and
you bought that card. You bought that card.
Did I buy this one?
Yeah, you replaced an old like Nvidia 250 GT.
Yeah, the old one you gave me. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was a classic.
That's right. I remember. that was a big fat card too.
Yeah, and it was a long time ago. That was like 3-4 years ago at this point.
Yeah. But anyway, so I've never been like a frame rate junkie or, you know, people who are like, oh God, I'm only getting 60 frames, you know?
Compy is that guy that whenever he does like an upgrade, I remember when you built this machine that you're just kind of like, wow, the games look so much better.
Dude, no. Do you remember when I finally got a widescreen monitor?
Yes.
The reason I could game for so long on the rigs that I had before was because I was still using an old CRT square, tiny 600x800 monitor. Oh, and that's God. What I would play Left 4 Dead, the original Left 4 Dead. I would play that on this, you know, and I could run amazing graphical settings on 600x800.
Because you're pushing out like one third the pixels of everybody else playing.
Yeah. So it looked great. You know, the small area that I could see, it looked great. And then I got
was this also monochrome?
Finally got the widescreen monitor.
Black and green.
And I remember I opened up Civilization 5 and like, I seriously think my brain was having trouble like processing all the extra information.
Yeah.
You know, because even League, I played League on a CRT monitor and if you're afraid of the costs of like PC gaming, don't be. This rig I have is a year and a half old. It costs about $1,100. I have some extra peripherals that I got for free for being, you know, a podcaster. But even without those, you know, it's fine. And I don't have to get super, super frames to be happy. I don't have to have 3/4-inch, you know, headphone jacks.
And the thing is that you could build a system comparable, actually not quite. You wouldn't hit quite the performance of what you have right now, but you could build a system for like $400 these days that would, you know, kick ass and take names.
Yeah. It's not that hard, especially if you have a case that you can reuse.
Yeah.
A lot of people have a case. I reused the power supply for years and years until it finally exploded. That happened a few months ago. My power supply exploded. But, you know, that can just reusing a case and power supply, I mean, it can save you so much money.
So same question that I asked Eric. If you had to pick one piece of hardware that is you know, iconic of you, or that is like your piece of hardware, what would it be?
I'd have to say my Razer Black Widow keyboard. And again, it's a keyboard, but it's the first mechanical keyboard I've ever had. So, yeah,
I remember.
It's probably not that it's Razer Black Widow. I do like that.
Foam Finger Hat Robot green, is recorded, you know, and produced lights, by Jeff Wyckoff and Dave.
It's more
Wills.
The fact that it's mechanical.
A theme song
and I really
is Bionic
like
Boys by Yakuza Heart Attack.
I'll never go back to Memphis.
We are accepting well-aligned sponsors.
If
you'd like to contact the show, please email team at foamfingerhatrobot.com.
The Nostromo pad.
If you'd like to help support the show with a donation, you can do so on our website at foamfingerhatrobot.com.
I know where you're coming from.
Where we accept donations via PayPal, Nostromos, Bitcoin.
So the G13, those are membrane keys, right?
They are.
That's where I like get the hang up, that I'm amazed that you can still do it.
It's so incredibly versatile.
Yeah.
It has macro support, and I use a lot of macros.
Well, I've kind of come to the point where that peripheral, and people, if you don't know what this is, you really just need to look it up. But that
it's
peripheral,
hard, it's kind of hard to describe. Yeah.
Yeah, but I've come to the grips a long time ago.
Yeah.
That you just don't get it until you sit down and use it for a while.
Oh yeah. There's a learning curve to it, I suppose. But
yeah. But I'm just saying that I just don't get it. But
yeah.
I just haven't spent the time with it. I've never met somebody who spent like more than a week with one who would be willing to give it back though.
So what is it for you then? What's your
I'll give the general outline of my rig.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So like I said, you and I, we're going to have our little high-end dance off.
Well, yeah.
So, fair warning people, I work for NVIDIA. I work for NVIDIA and I'm a social media guy for their marketing team. So I have access to hardware.
I guess I should also say I work or have worked for PC Gamer, and they have sent me very generous things.
It just makes me wonder why I still have an AMD card there.
Yeah, I know.
Need to get on sending me another one.
I am positive that there's a 780 probably within 4 feet behind me. So we'll get you taken care of. All right. So I'm running an Intel. I'm happy to hear we're all on Intel at least. I'm running an Intel i7 3970X.
Okay.
That's the six cores.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the six core. It's a 3.5 or it might be slightly lower. I don't know, but I run mine at 3.67.
Okay.
Because I too have a Maximus, I think mine's a Maximus 4 gene.
Okay, sure.
Well, no, sorry, it's not, because mine is the mini ATX version.
Oh. You're
talking about MOBOs, right?
Yeah, motherboards.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. But either way, it's one of the, you know, ROG incredible boards. It's fantastic. ROG is one of those brands for motherboards that, you know, if you've never had one, then I don't recommend you ever get one, because you will be trapped into buying these expensive boards for the rest of your life.
Because my motherboards, like, I just find a motherboard that has the slots I need and has like the right chip, you know,
and then we'll hit the right speeds. No, I remember because I helped you spec your board. Your motherboard was like what, $100 at the time?
Yeah.
And it's awesome. You know, and the motherboard that I'm running is like $300 and something, if not more. And it's really awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
It's incredible. And it's sad because it added money to my next build. Because now I'm never going to be able to go
back.
That's
why you should follow my example and start the cheap side. Yeah.
I run only 16 gigs of RAM. I don't do any big video encoding. I don't do anything that's really heavy on RAM. I'm still running, you know, 1080p. It's just, there's no reason for me to go above 16 right now. Let's see here. I also run an external sound card, but I use a much lower end version. I use a Creative Sound Blaster X5 Pro.
Okay, sure.
So, you know, it still has the digital's inputs, and it's fantastic. I love it. My headset is a Sennheiser. Great story about this headset. This is a $350 headset, I think, that very strangely went on sale one day. It was available for like $80. And wow. So I purchased it, and by the time that I had completed my sale, it had gone back up to its full price again.
Nice.
But it showed up. It showed up in the mail. So, oh my gosh, I was so thankful to get this thing. I love it.
Yeah. Sennheiser makes a nice set of cans.
Yeah. I think you have to go to the high end though for Sennheiser. Cause I mean, they do have a nice low end, for their equipment. Like their low end stuff is good too,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't, like, it's not the same as, you know, like, they're $30 headphones and they're $200 headphones. The $200, you really hear the value. Like, sure. You really hear, yeah, that extra, yeah, you know, $170. I use a Logitech mouse. Logitech has been my go-to for mice for a very long time. Right now it's a G602. They're wireless. I love it. However, I have in a box behind me their brand new G502, which is, you know, a step down in their model line, but it's wired all the time, no batteries or anything like that. And it's the same form factor. I've had a chance to use it, and it was like using the exact same mouse. And which was really pleased me, because I think that they've nailed the form factor at this point.
I don't know why anyone uses wireless peripherals. Like,
I can tell you why. Because I've got the same 602, is it, Jeff?
Yeah, G602.
Okay, yeah. I often bring my computer from my office to my living room, so I can hook up 4 controllers to it and we can play couch games, because me and my friends play a lot of couch games. But having a wireless mouse is awesome for that, because then I can use it on the couch.
Right. Yeah. Okay. There was a time where
I never leave my desk. So
the thing that kills me now with a wired mouse, which I've always found a way to get around, is that, like, if I move one thing on my desk, suddenly the cord coming out of the mouse, like, becomes an impediment. Like, it'll hit something and it'll throw me off or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I have to work.
How many times I've been playing games and someone on my team or someone in the game is like, hold on, my mouse died, let me change the batteries or whatever.
And I've done that too. Yeah. Which is actually one of the reasons why I'm want to go back and try this G502. Just because if it has the exact same action and it feels like the exact same action as the 602, but with a cord, if I can just get the placement of the cord dialed in, then I think I'm going to be pretty happy with it. Right now I run 2 monitors. They're both 1080p. My main monitor is 144 hertz, but sitting on my kitchen, island right now, waiting to be installed, I'm going to be soon moving to 3 27-inch 21x9 cinema displays.
God.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to get even less done than when I only had 2 monitors. Because that's how productivity works. Oh, video cards. I didn't even mention my video cards. How did I get away with this? So, Eric, you're running a 780?
Yeah, so I have no doubts that you're going to blow me away card realm.
I'm a little bit behind the cutting edge right now. I have 2 780 Ti's.
Oh, geez, how terrible.
Hey, they're not Titan Blacks or anything. Yeah, so I'm running 2 780 Ti's in SLI. And you know what? I actually have to give a shout out to the case that I'm using. I use a Corsair 350D. Is that the right one? Now I got to look it up. Yeah, 350D. Their mini ATX case. I think Corsair makes the best cases in the world right now.
Yeah, well, see, and the takeaways from this, if your eyes have glazed over at this big, hardware discussion,
should have.
It's like, if you get into building your own computer, it's a great hobby. It's a lot of fun. It's like, you know, it's like hot rodding. You know, it's kind of manly, I think. You know,
yeah,
I have never met a girl who does this, but you're building your rig. You're like, yeah, I'm trying to get the most horsepower out of your, you know, engine, or trying to get the most frames out of your, video card. It's kind of the same deal. So it can save you money if you're looking on the low end, or it can become a really cool thing that you spend all your money on.
Yeah, the hot rodding, it's like car customization, really.
Mm-hmm.
If you, like, there are the people who work on their cars, and their car never breaks down, And if there's ever a problem, they can fix it for $20 and, you know, 30 minutes spent in the garage, right?
Yep.
And that's kind of like the place where you're at, Compy. Like, your computer is made out of easy-to-obtain parts. It performs like a boss. And if anything ever went wrong with it, you have all the knowledge you need to just, you know what, swap out the part.
And nobody taught me how to build a computer except the internet. I mean, you can just look it up on YouTube and put a, you know, a chip and a motherboard and put everything together. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, it's at the point where there's very few things on a computer when you build it these days that you could plug in to the wrong place.
Yeah, there's one video card I shorted out by plugging in the wrong thing to the wrong place. And that was like three builds ago. And then, but I got a refund. I managed to get a refund for it because I said it was that way out of the box.
Yeah. But, yeah. Oh, man. But then at the other side, if you want, you know, there's also those guys who go out there and, you know, they buy all the high-end parts and they start with a, you know, an expensive car to begin with. And they make a, you know, a real street racer out of like a BMW or something like that. And that's kind of the place where Eric and I are. You know, but then there's that whole other level, the people who like make their supercars from scratch, you know, kit cars that are faster than Lamborghinis and stuff like that. There's that analogy too. There's the people who build those.
And, that's called a large pixel collider.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Do a search on that, people. Large pixel collider. It's a PC gamer's PC. And it's
only $12,000.
It's only $12,000 worth of the best computer equipment.
You know, if you've got all this money lying around, right? Looking for something to do with it.
Hey, I don't know. Maybe we might have listeners out there who are just like, yeah, I was looking to build the most insane PC I could possibly build. Well, you know what? Large Pixel Collider is a pretty good, you know, stepping stone on your journey.
You have to make sure the chip that you get fits into the motherboard you get, and that it's got a PCIe slot for your video card. Yep. It's a PCIe video card, and that's pretty much it.
The right speed.
Make sure you have enough volts, enough power in your power supply to power the whole thing, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. And equipment keeps getting more and more efficient. So you actually, like, the whole power supply thing is going away too.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've got a 1.3 kilowatt power supply.
Wow.
What are you, crazy?
Well, it used to be, there was a time.
Well, you used to be running, like, two cards, right?
Yeah. And I used to be running two 480s.
Yeah, which are 480s very were power
not. Hungry. Not an efficient card.
At least not by today's standards.
No, yeah, exactly.
Now, like, to put it in perspective, people, he now runs one card that is more powerful than those two 480s combined. Oh, and it uses far less power than even about, one of them.
It uses about, I want to say, a third the power.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, you can get away. I mean, that 750 Ti came out not too long ago. You can run that off of a 250-watt power supply.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's so crazy efficient. But good question. Good question. You said it was Mr. Unicorn Man?
Mr. Unicorn Man, yeah.
Good question, man. You got us to ramble for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Unicorn Man also left us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Nice.
Yeah, he said, I love this. You guys are awesome for low elo, but I'm so happy you guys could branch out a bit. The show is funny and informative. If you like video games, you need to listen to this podcast. We also got a review from Mjolnir106, who said, if you like games, you'll love FFHR. Gamers talking about games they love. What more could you want? Eric with his captivating commentary. You have captivating commentary, Eric.
I am glad to hear that.
Dave with his intellectual insight. Dave, you've got intellectual insight.
Can't remember last time I was accused of that.
Yeah. And Jeff. All make great hosts.
And Jeff. Hey, maybe that was another
screw
case
you, Mjolnir 106.
Maybe that was another case of getting Dave and Jeff mixed up.
That's all I have to say there. Screw you, Mjolnir. I don't know if we read this one either. It was Eric Webb. He said a Skype call with some dudes. The podcast will make your crenellations reach homeostasis and cure the genophage.
Oh my God. Yeah. You talked about crenellations. I remember that.
Yeah. That's right. That was a good Mass Effect reference there.
Genophage.
Yep. All right. Keep those 5-star reviews coming. I mean, I'm impressed. We've got some good traction here for not really having a schedule that we've stuck to. But,
yeah, sorry for that. But
yeah, you know. Our bad. Continue to write into us. I think that we should set a topic every week related to what we were talking about.
How about chill games? Yeah. What is your chill game? What is a stress game?
Yeah. So what's your chill game and what's your most stressful game? Write in and we'll be happy to read the best answers on the air. You can send that to team@foamfingerhatrobot.com. And yes, you do have to write all of that out. Don't worry, I'll put a link in the show description. While you're at it, make sure you stop by our website at foamfingerhatrobot.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I am EatGamer, Dave is Low Elo Dave, and Eric is Belsaas, BelSaaS. We also have a Twitter account that I can't remember the name of because it's really just there to take the name before somebody else does. I want to say it's FFH Robot.
I want to say it's FFHR Cast.
Well, I'll look it up and it'll be in the show notes eventually too. But this was awesome, as it always is, right? Mm-hmm. I have to say, this is probably this show is so much fun to record.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just dudes on a Skype call.
Skype call with some dudes,
talking about the things we love. So
talking about motherboards till I get an erection.
Like women and motorcycles. And women on top of motorcycles.
So and now if you haven't listened to our League of Legends podcast and you play League of Legends, you kind of owe it to yourself. We, have the bombest podcast in the world for the subject. It's Low Elo. You can find us at lowelo.com or search it out on iTunes, whatever you're using. It's L-O-W-E-L-O. We also run myself, Eric, although, I'm only on there once every like 8 weeks. But we run another show, myself and Eric, some friends, called Threshold, which is a podcast for the card game Hex. Fantastic show. Probably the best. Now, definitively the best Hex podcast in the world right now. And that game is just getting started. It's in its beta as of this recording. So check it out and check out that show. Once again, it's Threshold, the Hex podcast. That's thresholdpodcast.com. And that's all I've got.
I think that's all there is.
Yeah, that's all there is. So say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Goodbye. Goodnight.
Could you sing us out, Eric?
Oh, gosh.
You were doing such a good job earlier.
I need...
Yole, yole, de, hoo, hoo. Yole, de, hoo, hoo. Yole, yole, de.
Foam Finger Hat Robot is recorded and produced by Jeff Wyckoff and Dave Quarles. Our theme song is Bionic Boys by Yakuza Heart Attack. We are accepting well-aligned sponsors. If you'd like to contact the show, please email team@foamfingerhatrobot.com. If you'd like to help support the show with a donation, you can do so on our website at foamfingerhatrobot.com, where we accept donations via PayPal, Bitcoin, and Litecoin.
of Foam Finger Hat Robot. Oh, my mic went away for a second.
Is it back?
Yeah.
Could you ask it to stay put, you know, for the duration?
It had to get a glass of water.